Ambassador Abia, very, very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Good morning.
So which one do you think? What do we need to bring back? You know, we need to bring some of these old sayings back.
Yeah. You know, the milk one doesn't work for me. I think that's gone.
You know, I'll tell you why. It's because it came from a time that I would imagine that our milk was delivered to outside our front doors glass bottles, and then the milk was spilt. And
I wonder where it comes from. We should actually know.
Let's Google the hell out of that. The other one is curiosity killed the cat. We don't use that anymore.
No.
I don't know. Like there's a lot of these that are just done, hey?
Yeah, they're not relevant. I think they've lost their relevance because.
And then I gave a talk on Friday.
Yeah.
About one that has evolved and developed in this country, which is a horror. An absolute horror, and my whole talk was about making sure that it no longer exists, and we've got to beat the hell out of it, because it's dangerous. And that one is stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane, yeah.
You know, stay in your lane. Yeah. South Africans, you stay in the lane. Helen Zille said she's going to stay in her lane, but she lied. You know, it's something that you think has always been around, you know, the swimmers staying in your lane thing, but it hasn't. It actually burst out in popularity in 2018 when the NRA, the National Rifle Association in America told doctors who were commenting on gun control to stay in their lane.
Yeah.
Worry about medical stuff, don't worry about gun control. And they said, hashtag, this is our lane because people are being killed and we're dealing with it.
Yes.
So then that became the discussion and it became so stupid.
Yeah.
So that's one of those sayings that now just became popular in 2018 and it really shouldn't. We need to actually just get rid of it, get shot of it immediately. No, I don't think, Dovi's suggesting we bring back I don't think this was ever a thing. A man who fishes in another man's pond catches crabs. No, I don't think so. Dan says, don't cry over broken Wi-Fi.
that becomes relevant.
That becomes popular. So
maybe it's bringing them back, but bringing them back.
Yes, with nuance.
With a nuance and also to take consideration of, you know, there was that one that used to go, give a man a fish and he eats for a day, teach him to fish and he eats for a lifetime.
Sorry, I fell asleep I just nodded off.
Yeah, you know, those are the...
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're very clever when you hear them for the first time and they're fresh and then they get boring.
Absolutely.
Cliff says, what about killing two birds with one stone? Yeah, we don't do that anymore. We don't kill... Like, we don't see that as a positive.
No.
You shouldn't be killing any birds with no stones.
No stones.
In the age of Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, exactly.
We could help Cliff out there. We could say a bird in the hand is worth
two
in the bush, you know?
I still never understood that
also
one. That one. Maybe being not a real non-hunter that I am. So, never kiss a gift horse in the mouth.
Never thought of kissing a horse.
Well, that's it. I don't know. But these things, they were, some of them are very odd. Mm. These old sayings. Yeah. Never kiss. Is it never kiss a gift horse in the mouth or kick a gift horse?
No, it's kiss.
We don't want to kick anything.
I don't know.
Sure, it could be never kick a gift horse in the mouth.
I don't know.
Please, can you just Google that quickly? Because that's one of those I think we've got wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, I don't know. Yes.
I think you're actually right. It might just be kick.
Yeah.
Leslie says a bird in the hand means being satisfied with what you have.
Okay.
In other words, it's worth something.
Yeah. So rather than chasing something that you don't have, be grateful for what you do have.
Exactly. Those birds that are flying around in the bush are worth nothing to you.
And you're chasing something.
You're chasing. You don't have it. If you've got one in your hand.
So that's quite a nice one for gratitude.
We can bring that one back.
It actually says don't look a gift
horse. Yes, I was just going to say. Jenny just says never look a gift horse in the mouth. I feel like this is like a remedial class today. This is our special needs hour.
We're failing badly.
Nikki says, we used to love the Yiddish phrase, Vos weiß a chaser von Lokshen. Which means, what does a pig know about
Lokshin, yeah.
about Lokshin, which is sort of a Jewish type of food? So it's cute. Martin says common sayings carry much wisdom, even if they become boring from overuse. That is true. That is absolutely true. Half a loaf is better than no bread. Actually, I don't know that one. But it makes sense.
Oh, and that other famous one, what? Another man's meat is another man's
poison. Something like that. There's a whole lot of poison around that one.
There's actually a hashtag at Yiddish Proverbs.
Oh, really?
So here's one, yeah. If not for the light, there would be no shadow.
Ooh, I like that. That's nice.
I like that a lot. Wow, one's man's trash is another man's treasure. That's Leslie. Yeah. Jenny says, cut your coat according to your cloth. That should be the South African. Should be the South African saying for now. Kate says, never look a gift horse in the mouth. I don't know how we got that. Benjamin's also saying, never look. It's not my fault. It was Dov. You see, Dov, you know what? I'm never reading out your messages again. I know it's never a good idea to do that. But there is something about kicking a horse, isn't there?
No, Howard.
No. I don't know.
It's never flay a dead horse, right?
No.
I don't know.
No, it's like flaying a dead horse. That's a saying. Flay is to whip.
Yes.
So it's like basically SAA is flaying a dead, putting more money into SAA. It's flaying a dead horse.
No, don't flog, isn't it? Flog a dead horse.
Okay, yes. All you newbies need to say flog. But you know, those of us that actually studied a bit of literature when we were younger, it was flay.
You know, we need to get an English teacher on here, Howard, to settle this. We need to get an English teacher.
No, we do not. No, we do not. Charging like a wounded buffalo.
Yes,
that's, that is cute. Oh, that's the other one is you lie like a cheap rug. That happens to be one of my favorites, by the way.
I do like a cheap rug.
Yeah. That's let sleeping dogs lie. There's that one. Yeah, so there's actually a tremendous amount of these people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. You see, the reality is that they had a lot of value. They just, became boring with overuse. So some of them we can't bring back. Or lie like a cheap watch.
Yeah.
I just like the rug because a rug lies.
And you can visualize that.
Yes, and it lies like a cheap rug. So that's my favorite, okay? No one else here gets to use that one.
That's yours.
That is gonna be mine. A fool and his money are soon parted. Lots and lots of these as well. Right, I've got to unfortunately read some of these very carefully that people are sending, just because they might not be.
You have to do a bit of pre-reading here. So here's another nice Yiddish one. Never try to be more foolish than the jester.
I like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
There's also a Yiddish one about a fool changing villages.
Okay, let me see if I can find it.
See if you can find something. Okay. Does anybody know that one? 345-19 or 061-895-1019. And I always think that's a very clever saying. There's something about, you know, you're an idiot in your village, but when you go somewhere else, you don't have to be. You can be a little bit smarter. There is definitely something around that. We like the rug analogy because you've never owned a cheap watch.
Okay.
It is true. I would like to. Every dog has its day. Right. There is that one. Oh, the last kick of a dying donkey, i.e. Eskom.
Dying horse.
I don't know.
The last kick
the
of
dead
a dying
fish
horse.
Bounce, eh?
It's a horse.
Gosh, there are a lot of these, eh? Every dog has its day, an eye for an eye, an early bird catches the worm. You see, we definitely had that when we were younger, the early bird. I suppose early bird specials. Do we still get early bird specials?
Yeah, I think I do see them now and again.
Yeah. Time is 8:20. Ian Basarabi joining us in studio, not talking about this at all.
Yeah.
But actually, we're talking about side hustles, aren't we?
Yeah, we're talking about side hustles. So
what is a side hustle?
Okay, so a side hustle is very much described as something that you do alongside your current profession. So it's picking up like a hobby or a job or something that you kind of can do in addition to what you're doing, but it's also something you can do while you may be looking for, new forms of employment mm-hmm. or you're waiting around. So, the ones that I wanted to focus on today are since the internet is coming back. We're back connected.
Right.
I want to talk about online ones. So these actually mean, and not that I'm suggesting that, that everybody, now doesn't leave their house, but these are ones that you can literally do without leaving your house. And like I say, side hustles can come in two different forms, either online or real life. So the online ones are, the ones that you can try.
But I just want to make it clear. Yeah. It's not moonlighting, because we don't encourage moonlighting.
Not at all. Not
moonlighting
at all.
Will ultimately damage your career
absolutely.
And the company that you represent. And so what is moonlighting?
Moonlighting is effectively when you're working for a company, but then you're on the side, you're running another business and you're fully employed with a company, and then what you do is you run another business and you're very cagey about it, or you don't mention it in that. And that first of all, it's disrespectful and it's dishonest.
And I think the way in which to look at moonlighting versus side hustle is moonlighting is when you take your core functionality or whatever you're doing for a particular business and do it and apply it elsewhere.
Absolutely.
A side hustle that you're talking about is, so maybe I work as a, I don't know, whatever it would be in a company A, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah,
and I'm working for a law firm, but then I decide to teach English.
Yes,
teaching English maybe online at night. Maybe that's a side hustle, and not every company even allows that.
No, and that's why it's a very valid point that you mentioned, Howard, is that you should have open and honest discussions with your companies, because you're right. Some companies may feel uncomfortable because they don't understand it. So sometimes you may just have to explain it and have it in the open.
And they might say, well, hold on a minute. We don't want you working nights teaching English online in China till 2 o'clock in the morning, and because it's going to affect how you practice law in our practice the next day.
Yeah.
So you do have to have these conversations.
Absolutely. So this is very much for people that are maybe out of work at the moment. And they're maybe they're just looking to do something. They've got time on their hands and they're looking to do something. So yes, of course it's applicable to both parties, but let's look in the context of somebody that's really, instead of sitting and binge watching Netflix, maybe try and make a little bit of money out of it.
Unless it's pandemic, by the way, or The Stranger. Okay. Those are definitely worth binge watching.
So then you don't.
Once you binge watch those, then you carry on with your side hustle.
Perfect. Okay. So once again, when you go to online, there's stuff that like anybody with a pulse can basically do this. And then there's stuff that you actually need a couple of skills. And I'm not even joking when I say this, but like there's so much out there that people want and you've just got to look for it. So the ones that I want to talk about, there's three that I think are really cool that you can do. So the one is there's something called Amazon MTurk. So that's MTurk, Amazon Turk.
Mm-hmm.
Now what that does is it lets you complete different tasks for money. Now what are these tasks? So these tasks, I'm not going to call the acronym, but they're called human intelligence tasks. So what they do is these tasks range.
Right, a lot of our listeners need not apply.
No, exactly. So you have to have some intelligence.
Dov.
No, don't be horrible to Dov, Howard, please.
Well, he's just sent me here, it's raining cats and dogs. That's an old Chinese restaurant saying.
Wow.
See what I mean.
Listen, all right. Tell Dov it's not comedy, Howard. So these tasks range from like surveys to studies to transcribing data. So literally what you do is you're given stuff like translation. So if you, as you were saying, you talk about English, but say you can translate from English to Afrikaans and somebody needs something transcribed.
Mm, mm.
You can do that. You have to
do Eastern listeners, this one's for you, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. There we go. Plug for our friends.
Right.
So it takes a little time to get familiar with the system. You've got to do a proficiency test. They actually have to know. So they give you a bit of a online quiz. Then what companies do, you can earn anywhere between $10 and $20, because it's done in the States,
right,
for transcribing somebody's work from English into Afrikaans.
Amazing.
And there's other tasks as well. You know, if you think about it these days, sometimes they want to check that there's a human. Have you logged into a website and they said,
yeah, I find that offensive that a website is asking me if I'm human.
Okay. So that's,
please confirm you're not a robot. No, you confirm you're not a robot.
So the interesting thing is that the computers are not they're catching up with artificial intelligence. So when you get those pictures, they come and say, tick on the pictures that are bridges, or tick pictures where there's a traffic light.
No, what about those ones that tell you to say what's written there and you can't read it?
You can't even read it,
exactly. Because it's in hieroglyphics.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do they do that?
I think
it's a trick question, because I think if you get the answer right, then you are a robot.
Yeah, that's true. So if you get it wrong, then they let you in.
Yeah, because you're human. Yeah.
So that's why they put humans behind those. So, mm-hmm. So there's actually humans that are checking those pictures behind, and people get paid for that. The other one is, there's a website, there's a South African website where you can actually complete online surveys and you can get paid for it.
Right.
There's a site that pays up to 35 rand a survey. So you can do that. And then the other thing, and Howard, this is like really easy. And I know somebody who's doing it. I know a banker. Okay. He lives in London now, but when he was here in South Africa, he was a banker, but he collected those little dinky cars. Remember the little matchbox dinky cars? Mm. And when he got married, his wife said, well, maybe it's time to offload. To
grow up, yeah.
Grow up and offload. So now what he does is he actually sells them online. So he sells his dinky cars online, but he's created also, like a kind of a market. It's almost like I wouldn't call it a
stock
market.
So he's taken a hobby. He's taken a hobby and he's turned that into something that, is financially beneficial, but it's actually also gives him something, an interest outside of his work.
It's fun. So what he's done is he's offloaded probably 80% of his collection. He's kept 20% probably in the garage, but out of sight, out of mind. Yeah, there's another one.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yes. Karen says life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There. So what he's done is he's balanced it, because now he goes online and he can still enjoy his hobby, but he's actually making some good money out of it, because these cars are actually worth quite a lot, these little collectors items. So those are the ones that really, they don't really require a lot of energy or effort. But if you want to make a little bit more money, there's other ways as well. So you can go onto websites where, and Howard, I know you write a lot of blogs and stuff like that, but you can actually become a content creator where people will pay you. You know, you've got to build relationships and all that, but you can do that. But the one that I found the most interesting was I use a product called Grammarly. I don't know if listeners have heard it. Helps you with your, just to get your grammar right and all that. Right. But they offer an additional service where if you want somebody to proofread your document, you can just click on a button and you pay for that.
That's incredible. But I didn't know that.
Yeah, so people can sign up. So if you're a good proofreader.
How long do they take?
They can turn it around in, it all depends on the length of the article. And once again, it's on a premium.
Right.
So if you want it done like by the end of the day or something like that, you can have it done by the end of the day.
Amazing.
But that's like kind of
where. Because anyone who writes knows it's almost impossible to proof your own work.
No, absolutely. So, and Grammarly itself can do up to a certain point, but.
Right.
It's like just kind of fixing the commas and all that, but it doesn't tell the context.
Now they're getting real people to actually proof it, and that's incredible.
Yeah, and then they get different people. And
people get paid for that.
Absolutely. And then the final one is really about resumes. You know, people need, you know, I know a lot of people that are struggling to get their resumes done because they haven't written a resume or a CV. So what you can do is you actually can get somebody to write your resume for you, and you never have to meet the person. And then the one for Zanati is you can set up a YouTube channel. And once you hit a certain amount, I can't remember the exact threshold, but when you reach a certain threshold in terms of subscribers or views and that, that's when the money kicks in. That's when you start to get the adverts start to get filtered to you. And then every time somebody clicks on it, you get a percentage of that. So once again,
Give me the name of that website, that Amazon website.
Oh, so it's Amazon Turk. So I'll give that one to you so we can give that to the listeners. It's mturk.com.
mturk.com.
And you can go in there and you can have a look. It shows you exactly how the model works. And imagine it like, once again, a marketplace. You've got requesters. So the requesters have tasks they need to be completed. They publish those on the marketplace. And then you get workers who go in there and say, okay, well, I can do that.
Amazing.
And you can shop around for work.
Absolutely amazing. Time is 8:29. Hilal says, to your credit, Howard, you breathed new life into the old saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Yeah, we're not kissing our gift horses. We're not kicking our gift horses. we're not even looking at our, why can't you look at a gift horse? Like, I don't understand.
What is a gift horse?
That's the first question. So
you're going to get home and someone's going to gift you a horse.
And why can't I, and what? And you can't look at it?
No.
This saying makes no sense.
Absolutely.
All right. If you have any idea what that means, then that would be great. Natalie says, yes. Hi, yes. Last night someone called me from our credit card bank saying and was very angry when I wouldn't verify my ID and postal address. That is from Natalie. Natalie, that's exactly. And they use a bit of intimidation. They use all sorts of things to make you give out their your information. If you're in the slightest bit, if you are the slightest concerned, put the phone down and call your bank directly. Go through to the credit card division and you'll go through. You'll understand exactly what is going on. Jenny says the looking gift horse in the mouth is all related to the Trojan horse story.
Okay.
I still don't understand that, but fine. It definitely, oh, it's the same as beware of Greeks bearing gifts. No, we don't do xenophobia here.
No, we don't do Asians.
No. We don't talk negatively about Asians.
No.
But, you know, even in light of coronavirus, we're very, very sensitive about that. And we are certainly are not going to do the whole Greek thing, are we?
So we're not talking about horses. We're not talking about birds. We're not talking about fish. We're not talking about any of that.
Exactly. Can you do a slot for the safe environment for what our kids are on? Example, TikTok, Roblox. I don't even know what half of these things are. And if we do download them, what can we put in place to keep them, the kids safe? Melinda, I think that is a brilliant, absolutely brilliant question. And we are going to take that up. I think that is a very, very important conversation to have. And I do appreciate that suggestion. We are going to look at that. Ian, a lot of the conversation that we've been having is around finding ways to perhaps earn a little bit of extra money. A lot of people are under financial stress. I know that a lot of the anxiety that people are facing, the terrible anxiety is around financial worries. And this is finding alternate ways to put a little bit more money in your pocket. Not only gives you that money, but it also empowers you. I think that's very important.
Absolutely, Howard. And I think the most important thing is that, and this is not scare tactics or to shock people, but there's an article that came out on Business Tech in the last 24 hours, which says that over 9,000 planned job cuts have been announced for South Africa in 2020. So that's planned. Those we know are already going to happen. There's going to be far more than that. It's just that we're only in February. I know this seems like the longest year of our lives, and we're halfway through the second month. But the reality is, and this is what I'm spending a lot of time with individuals saying, the old ways of trying to swim upstream. If a lot of people are being laid off and you're trying to get into a company in a traditional means by just putting your CV in there, it may work. And there may be one or two people, but for the general majority of people looking for work, and I know there are a lot of people looking for work out there, traditional ways aren't going to work. So this is a start of reinventing yourself or finding ways and becoming more confident online and upskilling yourself. And I know we've spoken a lot about it, and I think we need to speak about it more, is we need to reskill ourselves and we need to make ourselves more marketable. But we can discuss this at length. But the reality is the traditional job market is changing and we need to adapt in order to succeed.
Ian Basrabi, thank you. As always, fascinating conversation. But in fact, at least now we've sorted this whole gift horse business out.
Yeah.
All right. Peter, thank you.